This is the Unfiltered Union.
I'm Linz.
And I'm Russ.
Here is this week's episode.
I have not taken a shower today.
Cute. That's how we're starting today.
Yeah, I figured I'd just be honest with the listeners and tell them that I smell nice.
Just get it out of the way.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I just want everybody to know.
Appreciate it.
It's not, you don't have, don't help.
Smell your screen? What are you trying to say?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
Don't feel like you're forced to take a shower by the shower lobby.
The shower lobby?
Yeah, it's probably a thing.
I doubt it.
Yeah, the shampoo lobby and stuff. They're just trying to get your money, bro.
So it's really warm in Florida now.
It is.
We have sunburn.
We do.
First sunburn of the year.
Yep. Yep. Soccer means outside. Means extra sunburn.
I mean, we play, our daughter plays in a recreational league, and I mean, that's all year round pretty much for us here in Florida. But mind you, it does get chilly. We have to wear hoodies and stuff.
Well, the interesting thing is they actually take a break in the summer.
Yes.
They don't take a break in the winter. They take a break in the summer.
Because it gets very hot.
And it's hot here. It's hot enough to where they're like, I'm not going outside, and F you.
But this podcast is not brought to you by Solar Recover, but we highly recommend it for when you do get sunburned.
Yes, it isn't. But I do think they should contact us and probably throw us a couple bucks.
As much as we talk about it.
And we buy it.
Although.
Religiously.
As much as we get sunburn, like maybe we should learn our lesson and put on sunscreen. Like maybe.
That feels gross.
But it protects your skin and prevents things like melanoma.
Yeah, but I think the problem with that is, though, is all the chemicals that are be into the sunscreen. That.
Well, okay, we're struggling today. Got it.
Already, we're starting off gooder. All right.
That's okay. We'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that also means with the weather turning that there's all these events in Florida.
Yeah. Gasparilla already happened, didn't it?
Yeah, that was back in January.
And that was cold.
It was very cold. We did not go. That was too cold.
When's stone crab season?
I think it's October through like March.
I'm way off. I'm over here trying to act like I know what I'm doing.
Let me. I got it. So
IndyCar was today.
Yes.
That's my favorite.
The first IndyCar race of the season in St. Pete.
We just finished watching it.
It was a good race.
Our guy didn't win, Joseph Newgarden. We want him to win. I don't really know why.
We're just rooting for somebody.
Yeah, we're just rooting for somebody. And well, he's American and his car is a Chevy. So rooting for American.
Sure.
Made in America.
Yeah, I guess. Somebody to root
he
for.
Was made in America. Car was made in America.
But, I mean, it was a really good race, though, and we actually went to one of the races once upon a time because my work got us passes, and it was a cool event to go to.
It's one of the nicest and coolest outdoor events I've ever been to.
Yeah. I mean, one, it's in St. Pete. Like, you can't get better than that.
No.
But it's also in a time of year where it's, you know, pretty mild. You can walk outside. There's lots of vendors. You can see the freaking Gulf. It's beautiful. Yes,
and there's yachts around you. There's helicopters and planes landing right next to you because they actually closed down part of the St. Pete Airport to allow for
the
race.
It's private, but yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, they don't shut down an actual, like, legit airport. But my point is it's amazing. They drive through the streets of St. Pete the airport. And it was and still is one of my fondest sports memories.
Well, there you go.
Because of how intense and crazy it is. It sounds like bees.
It does. Sounds like a beehive when they start up and they start going. It's crazy. But I thoroughly enjoy the event too.
Yeah, it's good for kids too, I think. They definitely need hearing protection.
For sure.
But it's a huge, huge festival. Mm-hmm. Like walking around, you can go talk to people that make the tires. You can go talk to people that are the mechanics and
yeah, when we went, there was a big McLaren tent.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you can get drunk as shit out there if you want.
That's a Florida thing. I mean, any event outside or any event anywhere at Florida, at kids' freaking like bounce houses, they have alcohol for the parents.
They got to hand it all out.
It's crazy.
But I will say, we went to a skating rink, and they didn't have any alcohol.
Really? I didn't even look.
I didn't see anything. I didn't see any alcohol in their drink thing or like the option to get a pitcher of beer. Which I wouldn't have gotten anyway. I haven't drank in over a year. But it's...
Round of applause for you.
Yes, please. Okay. I got my coin. It's right here. Look.
Chosen sobriety. Let's be clear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it's still makes me feel nice.
Yeah. It's a good milestone.
She's downgrading my.
The other event that's happening now that Florida's really popular for is Strawberry Fest.
Oh, yeah. Well, is that over?
No. It was going through this weekend, I think.
Oh, it might okay.
be over today.
Yeah, but I think it's just now ended because it's March now.
Yep. But it stretched over, you know, a couple of days, couple of weeks. That's the typical span of a Strawberry Fest. And they bring in tons of people to
it's crazy.
Actually have a concert, like Flo Rida.
He was here this time?
Uh-huh. He frequents a lot.
Last year was ludicrous.
Reba was there this year. Oliver Anthony.
He was there?
Beach Boys. Sarah Evans. Like, there's a lot of people who come. And not, you know, anything huge. Like, you would, you know, pay to go to, like, Emily Arena or whatever. But
yeah, but Ludacris was here.
True. I mean, but he's kind of retired, in my opinion.
I don't care.
No, I remember. I like him. Don't get me wrong. But
when was the last time he had an album
come out?
It doesn't matter.
But anyways, so Strawberry Fest is another outdoor event. And then coming up in April is called Sun and Fun. We haven't done that one yet.
Is that the airport place?
Yes.
Yeah, they got an air show and stuff.
Yes. I want to try and do that one this year.
That's in Lakeland, right?
In and around, yeah.
Lock-A-Land?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But yeah, they do like an air show. There's tons of stuff for the kids to do.
So you got to drag me out of the house.
Yeah, that's great. You and your agoraphobia. But I thought, you know, all these events coming up, we really need to invest in Solo Recover, which is not brought to you by this podcast. But also, we probably should just bite the bullet on some sunscreen.
And beach burkas.
I think you need to patent that and actually start to develop those.
I agree. Because
maybe for people who are very fair skinned like yourself.
Yeah.
Could be.
I would totally wear that.
Could be. But I think the Sun and Fun would be a really cool event for our kiddo. Have her go out there and see all that.
Definitely need hearing protection for that too.
Absolutely. But I feel like we've been really busy recently with all the stuff for our kiddo, like especially with school stuff. Recently, she actually. What?
Why does school cost so much money?
You mean extra money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pay all these taxes in our county.
Uh-huh.
And our school system then asks for more money via donations, PTA stuff, you know, buy this fundraiser.
Spirit shirt, buy a shirt. Yeah. Here's a shirt.
Right. Here's Kona Ice that comes every whatever once amount of days. Yeah. Yep. And then now, here's a school project that you now have to dress your child up for. Fuck you.
Lots of costumes. lots of wearables. It's crazy. I agree. But for this month, it was February. It was for Black History Month. Our kiddo did a wax museum presentation.
It was really good. Yes. Really good. I will say, I'm sitting here bitching and complaining about the money, but the school put on this huge show for us, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They did a really good job.
Such a good job. So our kiddo's in the fourth grade, and her presentation was on Bessie Coleman. Yeah. And Bessie Coleman, the first Native American and African American pilot.
To achieve a pilot's license.
Yes. Yep. So our daughter's presentation, she did the trifold board. She had the pictures, and she had little bits and pieces of history for Bessie Coleman.
And she was dressed up like a pilot.
She was dressed as a pilot. It was really cute. And then they had the kids put stickers on their hands, and then you go around, you boop the kid's hand, and they do a speech on their person.
So they open up like their whole auditorium area for parents to then come in and walk around the exhibits. And boop, like you said, boop the kids and have them do their little speech to everybody. It was so cool seeing all these kids dressed up and then reading their speeches to people. Because I like it better than just doing a speech in front of a bunch of people, because it's kind of like more personable. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit less nerve-wracking. You're still talking to strangers, which stranger danger. But it's just a little bit different, but I still think it's good to get them used to talking to people that's not their parents or friends.
Right.
And that was awesome to watch. And I tried to hover around our kid and boop her over and over again so nobody else would, but you yelled at me.
Right, because you got to give her that experience. And she wanted it.
I know she did.
She wanted that experience. She was all about it, having people come up and having to do her speech. And
yeah, and she's a very timid kid, too, mm-hmm. so it was kind of cool seeing her break out of her shell. And, you know, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think she needs to do drama-type stuff. Acting, speeches. Oh, God,
she would love that.
I know. It's like she's less of a physical kid and more of like a... artsy. Like an artist, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's always been said that way. About our kid.
Yeah.
Because she's definitely timid until you put her on the spot to perform, right?
Yeah. She loves dancing. She loves to sing. She plays the piano.
One of the things that she used to say to us when she was younger is, "You're not on stage."
Yeah. That was an insult from her.
Right. Like,
she would come home and be like, time. So and so, she kept acting like she was on stage, and I told her she wasn't on stage. It's like, damn, you told her to shut the hell up.
I mean, that kind of goes into one of the questions that I asked you earlier this week and told you to shut up and wait for the podcast. But one of the things that I asked you this week was, are kids born with the instinct of competitiveness, or is it something that you learn from your surroundings? Is it nature versus nurture kind of deal? And we had an interesting discussion with a lot of people. And for me, I feel like it's both. I feel like it's both nature and nurture, that you can be born with a sense of competitiveness. But if your family is really into competition sports or those kind of things, where you are an overachiever, like, you learn to be even more competitive. That's my opinion.
Can I talk now?
Yes.
I think you're born with it 100%. And I think that because of, we have parts in us that have existed since we were cavemen. The amygdala, for example,
mm-hmm, fight or flight. Mm-hmm.
That's still there. Even though we don't live in the woods, we're not being stalked by freaking saber-toothed tigers. We still have that thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And damn, my stomach. Wow. I think that is the same when it comes to competition. Like, survival of the fittest is a competition.
Yeah.
And we are part of survival of the fittest. Now, nowadays, we don't act like it because we have everything handed to us. But back then, when civilization and stuff started and humans were roaming the earth along with dinosaurs and crap, we were competing with other animals.
And I hear you. I get your point. But then you see kids out on a baseball field or out on a soccer field, whatever field that they or their parents are putting them on as a sport, right?
Yes.
And you see them chasing butterflies. They're not paying attention. They are full out, like, just in their own world, because the sport, the competitiveness isn't important to them. Or the kids who never join a sport, even as teenagers or as adults, like, they don't enjoy team sports. So to me, it's like, to an extent, right, we're born with an instinct to fight flight from danger, but...
And compete for food.
But we don't have to compete for food in the United States of America, typically.
Not anymore, but that still doesn't mean, I mean, we don't have to fight or flight anymore either.
Right.
But it's still there.
But that's a stress response.
That's where anxiety comes from. You can't tell me, man, you are the maddest person in the world when you don't eat.
I am not. Our daughter is.
Yeah.
Let's be clear.
You can't tell me that ain't no fighter. That's not part of the caveman aspect.
No.
Yes. Angry.
That's just being hangry.
Yeah, right. You want to go out there and you want to eat a squirrel raw.
No. But I mean, seriously, though, if you think about, like, the kids who are out on the field whose parents are forcing them to be there, they have no sense of competition.
So they don't have competition for sports. But you've seen the videos of toddlers who have siblings that are the same age. They could be twins and they are like 8 months old or whatever. One sibling's playing with something and the other one comes up and takes it and the other one flops around and dives like it's... like they're dying.
Like, it's how, like, a professional they were
soccer not,
player.
They were not taught that. That is just, you came out of there, flying out of there with that freaking competition gene. 100%.
I mean, but that's sibling rivalry, though. I feel like.
Where did that come from?
I mean, okay, you can say that's an instinct.
Great white sharks eat each other in the womb.
But I mean, but is that like
I don't know what that have to do with anything, but it does. Half.
Are you okay?
I don't know. Probably
your stomach.
I'm stroking out. Yeah, right. I think that's what's happening. My competition. My stomach's eating my brain.
So you're the one who wants a squirrel right now.
I do.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I think it's an interesting concept that, you know, whether it's nature versus nurture, but you brought up toddlers, so let's jump into this topic. What happened at the White House recently?
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
A bunch of toddlers
Don't get me started.
The idea that...
I gotta pull out my notes.
The idea that we're having arguments, like full-blown arguments in front of media. Like, I get that it's probably provoked, or maybe some people think it's staged, but it's like, why are we doing this in front of the media? Like, you're giving them a story. Let's not give them stories. Maybe that's the purpose. I don't know.
Okay. Did you watch the entire thing?
No, I wouldn't say the entire thing. I watched probably...
The last 10 minutes, which is what most people watched.
Right.
Which was where it got pretty fiery in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I watched the entire 50 minutes of start to finish.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if you are in a position, as Zelensky is,
mm-hmm.
where your country is literally getting, your people are dying, and you are being offered our help, the United States' help, to help broker a peace deal with Russia. And your goal is to come here and essentially start the process of signing said peace deal. Okay? Why would you come here in the Oval Office and start calling the other side that's not there? And I'm talking about Putin. I'm not saying he's a good guy. I don't like the dude either. But why are you going to start calling him a terrorist and a murderer when you're trying to broker a peace deal? For him, or he's one of the parties to the peace deal. So you're going to go in there. You're going to insult the guy that has to come to the table too. That's not how negotiations work. You don't shit on somebody while you're trying to negotiate a peace deal. In my opinion, I don't think Zelensky wants a peace deal. From his body language and the shit he was saying in this meeting, he does not want a peace deal. Trump would say something. This dude would throw his arms up in frustration. And then Vance started digging into him because he was being disrespectful. And from what I saw and what I heard, he called him a bitch in Ukrainian or whatever their slang.
Mm-hmm.
He called him a bitch. And then there was another point in time where he mumbled under his breath their slang version of fuck you. You're over here in the U.S., in the Oval Office. You are being a disrespectful little prick. I think them shitting on him in front of the media was perfectly warranted because he just showed his true colors that, from what I saw, he did not want peace. He does not want peace. Trump and Vance, they kept saying, we need to do the negotiations. We need this, 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 and this. And he's like, you can't negotiate with Putin. It's like, but we weren't there to help proceed with this. Like, this whole thing was about us signing a minerals deal with them, right? Which then allows the U.S. to have economic interest in Ukraine, which then makes Russia less likely to attack them when we're over there and they're supplying us with minerals. We have an economic interest in Ukraine now. What NATO wants and what Ukraine wants is for Ukraine to join NATO. Do you know what that does? That makes Ukraine have to conform to NATO military purchases, which is also fucked up. Boeing, Raytheon, all those defense contractors, they have to buy from them. They lock down an entire market. What? We have a problem here in the United States with the military-industrial complex and how they want us in a perpetual state of war. Because how do these defense contractors make money?
Can't.
They don't. Yeah, go ahead. I want to hear it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, wait, wait. One more thing. One more thing. So another thing that I just read was the fact that Obama's national security team actually called Zelensky before his meeting and essentially told him to not accept any of this stuff, any type of agreement with the current administration. Do you know what that's called? That's called a Logan Act violation, because an administration that's not in power is contacting a foreign government to try and persuade them to do things. Okay, your turn.
Do you want to have a conversation about this? Or do you want to just vent and lament?
I said enough.
I will sit here and listen if that's what you would like to do.
I didn't say enough. Let me ask you this. As a United States citizen, how comfortable would you feel if China or Russia set up a military base in Mexico or Canada?
Can I talk now?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to have a conversation with you about this.
Okay.
But I feel like you gave a lot of the exposition about what happened, right? Yeah. Okay. So let's have a conversation.
Okay.
To me, I think there are a bunch of things wrong, right?
Of course. We don't want World War III.
Well, true, right? So first option, right? If you think about the different ways that this could go, option one is Putin takes over Ukraine, right? Like that's his goal.
I don't know. I don't know what his goal is. I'm not even going to speculate because I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm not Putin.
Okay, fine. But if you were to speculate, he wants to take over Ukraine. He wants to make sure NATO's not going in there. He wants to turn back the clock to 1993, whatever you think.
Ultimately, I think his goal is to not let NATO in there, because then you have major weapon systems that are your neighboring country.
Right. Okay. Just like we would never allow for Russia to have missiles in Cuba.
Right.
If you remember history. Exactly.
Right. So what? Luckily, it was just Cuba, and we were able to blockade them and stop that from happening. But what if they did it in Mexico and they were actually successful?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's number one, right? Problem number one. Number two is we've spent billions.
$350 billion, I believe, is the number.
Billions sending it over to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. We are trying to help them. We are trying to support them through what is a crisis, right? And in doing so, to me, it sounds like we're fueling a war.
We are.
Right.
Because we're giving them arms, which this is the other thing. How does Russia feel about us giving guns to a country that is now shooting at Russia?
Mind you.
With our guns.
Mind you, we don't like Russia, right?
Okay, and that's fine.
Right, but we're not trying to be involved in a war.
Well, we're not.
That's the point.
We're not trying to be involved in a war, and let's not do World War III.
Well, and let's not support a war, right? Like, that's got enough shit going on at home.
Yeah, our goal is to eliminate a global conflict.
Right. So with the ceasefire, we're trying to have a ceasefire. And mind you, there have been multiple attempts at this. Multiple ceasefires have been signed up until this point.
Right.
So the multiple ceasefires, it's like, well, you're taking Putin at his word, right? So how do we make everyone happy, right? So option two, which is what I understand. And again, we are on Unfiltered Union. This is opinions only. But when it comes to what the current administration is trying to do by the economic buy-in of the American people, of the minerals that we're trying to do, and allowing Putin to keep a specific piece of Ukraine that rolls it back to 1993. It's like trying to create a ceasefire, an appeasement to have peace, right? Yes.
Okay. The goal is 100% peace.
Right. I think everyone can agree that that is the goal. But whether or not you agree with the way we're going about it, totally your opinion, respect it. But that's what's currently being talked about, what's trying to happen. Then you have them getting in a room and essentially acting like children. Like, come on, you're adults. Let's have an actual conversation behind closed doors. Try and get to a negotiation. I get that those conversations can get heated, but you don't do that out in front and millions of people to watch and have everybody see what's happening. That's my opinion. So option two, we talked about that. Option three. Option three is we keep feeding Ukraine. Keep giving them all of these resources, right? And Russia isn't going to stop, right?
Russia's not going to stop, and eventually it escalates.
Exactly. And what does that escalation look like?
World War III.
Exactly.
Nuclear weapons may be fired, and that would be awful.
Right.
Because one person fires them, everybody fires them, we're all dead.
Yep. So, hanging on a precipice there with option three, right? Maybe it doesn't go that far. Maybe you don't think it ever would go that far. We could keep feeding war and it would be fine. But if you look at history, when someone is feeding someone a bunch of weapons and helping them with the war, it never goes well. Look at Vietnam. Look at
Japan.
Right?
Japan attacked us, I believe, because we were blockading their economic stuff. I don't remember the exact reason, but they didn't attack us unprovoked. We weren't directly involved in that, but I think maybe it was because we were providing arms to
British. Supporting Britain.
Yeah.
While the British Germany was attacking.
Yeah, for sure. And they attacked us. So what's the difference between what we're doing now, sending planes, sending tanks, arms, all kinds of stuff over there? What's the difference?
Now, some people may say Russia's evil, right?
Okay,
Russia's
that's bad. Fine.
And that can be your opinion, sure. But the bigger picture beyond bad Russia is that you have a building tension. And if you're trying to say that Ukraine should be NATO, you align them with allies. And then Russia has allies. What happens?
Exactly. You go out into a full-scale world war. China's involved. North Korea, I know they're already semi-involved, but they will be involved. And then we have to then jump in full troops on the ground stuff. We don't want that. Everybody's done with war here. We've had a fucking perpetual war in the Middle East. Let's just stop. Mm-hmm. So let's not do this shit again. And I think that was the point of this meeting and the point of our side going off on this dude, because he came to the table, not from what I saw, not wanting peace. His whole thing was, you can't trust Putin. He's a murderer. He's a freaking terrorist.
And he has a good point.
You
can't trust Putin.
But what
is the alternative?
Do you negotiate? Mm-hmm. How do you do that in a negotiation? So if me and you, if you're trying to buy a house off me and I say, you're a fucker, are you going to buy that house off of me? I bet you suck having bang bang. Are you going to buy the house off of me? Your OnlyFans is the worst.
Two buckets and some quick.
No, but I'm just saying, you don't insult people who are supposed, they're the other party to a negotiation. That's not how negotiations work. If you're in a business and you're trying to negotiate with a partner to buy out their business, and you say your business is, you ran your business to the ground because you're a shitty businessman, they're going to be like, all right, I'll go find another buyer.
Right.
That's what's happening.
To an extent.
It's not a business. It's a war. It's lives being lost. Have you seen how they have to freaking build their manpower in Ukraine?
Mm-hmm. Our friends.
It's the saddest, most horrific thing in the world. I just watched like 5 videos.
Why?
Because you have to do this to understand what's happening. I don't like to talk shit about stuff unless I look and I understand the situation.
You have to look at both sides.
I know.
Very clear.
I know. But this dude that in my opinion doesn't want peace. You know how he conscripts soldiers?
By force.
He kidnaps them.
Yep.
I saw a bunch of videos. Dude is walking his dog, right? Walking his dog down the street. He's probably an 18, 19-year-old dude. So still a kid. They pull up in like an unmarked van and 5 soldiers get out, kidnap him. Dog's just running away. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this dude's trying to walk his dog. He's probably got to pick up shit.
So a friend of a friend actually posted on Facebook recently that their mother, so it's a very indirect story. So I'm going to quote it saying that I don't know this to be factual, but a friend of a friend, the mother, actually had their son abducted from while they were in Ukraine to be conscripted into the war. She actually had to pay a ransom in order to get him out.
And she's American?
But I'm not sure of her nationality. But,
does she live here?
I believe she lives here, yes.
So what I'm trying to say is she had to pay a ransom even though we're giving them billions upon billions of dollars. It's not good.
But once they dropped him off, wherever they dropped her son off, the next person was there to kidnap him and bring him in to conscript him again.
Yeah.
So...
So they're human trafficking.
This is word of mouth. Now, and you can quote me, don't quote me, but the stuff that's happening, that people are saying is happening, like you have to want it to stop. Like if you are anyone who is a good person, you have to want it to stop.
Yeah, and getting it to stop, you might have to make a couple concessions, which means bringing Putin's evil ass to the table. Unfortunately, but your country is on the brink of total annihilation. You are conscripting people by kidnapping them.
And or the world is on the brink of a major war.
Right. Seriously, I don't think people lean into this enough. Nuclear war is a possibility. Mm-hmm. If you think Putin's evil, imagine if we had to send boots on the ground.
Well, if you think Putin's evil, he has a button.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And once he starts feeling in a corner, what do you think he's going to do? Do you think this guy who everybody, I don't know the dude, but he is not well regarded here, and that's totally fine. I don't really like what I read about him. I don't think he's a good person. But if you back him into a corner by... us as the U.S. putting boots on the ground, all of Europe, all of NATO putting boots on the ground.
Kitty has clothes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's going to fight and he's going to end up using weapons that then we have to counter with and then we all die. I don't want to do that.
I really hope.
I want to eat a Lunchable tomorrow.
That Dodge does in fact end quickly, meaning, you know, Elon and all his efforts to find all the waste and all the things he says that he's doing. I really hope that ends quickly, that he fixes all the things he says he's fixing. And then he can focus back on his SpaceX because we need to go to Mars.
Yeah.
We need to go to Mars.
Yep. I don't.
Moon? Maybe?
It's so terrifying, though. Like, we have to go. If we can, which that's what this meeting was about, to try, we have to try. Because the next step is not a good step.
Right. It's going to get crazy.
All I'm saying is I'm glad I'm about to be 37, right? Yeah, I'm about to be 37 years old.
You forgot.
And I got OCD. So I ain't getting conscripted into no military service. Mm-hmm. So.
The draft.
Yeah, I can't get drafted. And I don't want anybody to get drafted into a war like that. It would be brutal.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen World War and we don't want to see another one.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope. But
you have to understand that to do this, to broker peace, you have to bring the party that is a peace, you know.
Putin, both parties to the table.
Yeah, you have to bring both parties to the table. And to do that, you don't need to be insulting him in American media. That's not how you do it.
Right. If you want to insult behind closed doors.
Right.
Have at it.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
But
Or even if you want to insult Trump behind closed doors, have at it.
Right.
Stop doing it in front of everybody.
You don't say fuck you and you don't say fuck you bitch or bitch under your breath.
If that's what he said.
You watch it and I bet you'll think the same thing. There's videos of them, somebody with like audio degree. I don't have one of them.
But Mars?
Eh. Well, are we skipping all? We're done?
Mars or the moon? Like which one sounds better?
The Mars looks like a beach with no water.
I think it looks more like a desert.
I mean, that's okay. It looks hot.
Yeah.
So I prefer hot.
Yeah. Over the moon.
Yeah.
No atmosphere.
I think the moon's cold.
Yeah, so Mars.
Yeah.
But I can't stick my head out a window, so I don't know how I would do.
Oh my God, we going after this? Ask the question.
No, I'm making a statement. I can't. I cannot stick my head out a window.
You can breathe. There you go. You can stick your head out of a window.
But I can't breathe when I do it.
That's the weirdest
thing. I could never be a dog.
I was getting ready to say, if you better not reincarnate as a dog.
Because I don't think I could live on Mars.
You will die.
Because it's forcing air, right? I don't know.
I stuck my head out of... So her question today, can you stick your head out of a window and breathe?
I can't.
And I was like, I have no idea. So on the way to breakfast, I was driving. So she's sticking her head out the window like a dog.
No, hold on. I was sticking my head out the window because my hair was wet. I was trying to blow it dry because y'all were hungry. I was trying to get out the door quick. Okay.
Sticking your head out the window like a dog and you couldn't breathe. I'm like, man, what the heck? So I'm on the way back from breakfast. I'm like, I got to try this shit.
So I drove.
I could breathe. I survived.
I can't skydive. Like, there's so many things that I can't do because I can't breathe. Yeah. I'd probably pass out.
But I will say, though, that you sent me and my dad to, what is it called?
I fly.
Yeah. Indoor skydiving. And I was concerned about not being able to breathe. So I got the full, face helmet. And yeah, that actually helped. It does feel funny.
I can't.
It's like forcing air in and your body kind of like, almost like short breaths.
When you stuck your head out the window, though, you were doing like all this kind of breathing. I'm like, no, breathe normal. I'm talking about breathing normal.
Well, I can't breathe normal.
So you can't breathe.
Breathing normal and breathing
are the same thing.
And breathing, whatever you say is abnormal, I'm still alive. if we both went down the road, somebody else driving, I could stick my head out the window and survive longer than you. You would die.
You would break the wind tension, though, if I was behind you. So I'd be okay.
You'd be on the other side.
Oh, okay.
You're in the left side. I'm in the right side. You stick your head out the window. We will see. I will live longer.
I won't die. I'll just pass out.
And die.
Ovi has 11 goals left.
I know. I'm so excited. I really do hope he gets it this season.
Well, you and I were talking about it when we watched the game the other night. That would he ever be beat? Like, no. Was there anybody else who could ever get close once Ovi beats this?
The fact that he has made it this far is insane. Goaltending now, yes, it's athletic and everything, but their pads are huge. The goal is small. It's like, I could be a fat goalie. I mean, obviously I don't have skills like them. But I'm just saying, I could block shots because of the huge pads.
Right.
Gretzky didn't have that back then. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Ovi is about to surpass this dude when the league has changed so much and has made scoring a lot harder is huge.
Yeah.
And he's going to do it. And I don't think anybody else will ever do it unless they somehow
change it.
Change the goalie pads back down. You know, they come up with new composites and stuff like that to where they're still protected, but the sizing is a lot smaller, which I think they should do it if they can.
Watching some of those reels of like old hockey.
Yeah, without helmets on and shit.
Without helmets, with the goalies having like tiny little pads, like barely anything on them.
Right. And that's when Gretzky played.
And then flopping on the ice. Like, it's crazy.
Well, the like the Mighty Ducks symbol, the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
The Jason mask.
Right.
How does that protect your face? It's like, if that thing is good, the puck's going to hit you in the face and the whole thing is smashing into your face. I don't get it. Nope.
But I think we're almost there. He's going to do it.
I hope he does.
I think it's
going to
be this season.
And I really want to make sure that we have it on TV, at least when he's like real close.
What if he plays Tampa? I think they're done for the season. No, they might have one more.
I don't know.
That was their third meet.
They just played. So
might have been their fourth.
And Tampa won. See, and that's the problem is like, I have two hockey teams. I will always root for the Caps.
Always.
Because that's where we're from. And Ovi is like our favorite player.
Ovi, Oshi. Backstrom's getting ready to retire. That was crazy.
I think he was more forced than anything else. Yeah, he had hip shaving surgery or something like that.
Surface.
Same thing.
I'm going to shave your hip.
I bet that you'll probably get a fucking sandpaper and sand it down. He got surfaces done.
right?
Yeah. Love you.
Thanks for listening to the Unfiltered Union. If you enjoyed this episode, click like and subscribe. And check out our merch on unfilteredunion.com. It's what you do with things you love.